Dear God, thank you for this day. Thank you for your mercies. They're new every day, Lord. Thank you for your grace, Lord. And without it, I don't know where we'd be. We'd be so lost. Lord, would you help us give each other grace? Would you help us give each other mercy? And Lord, we just want to worship your name. Your name is so greatly to be praised. In your name, amen.
We live for you. Holy, there
is a name above every other name. Jesus, the only one who could ever say, worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. Live for you, we live for you.
What a wonderful name it is, the name of Jesus. have no rival. You have no equal. Now and forever, God, you reign. Yours is the kingdom. Yours is the glory. Yours is the name above all names. What a powerful name it is. What a powerful name it is. The name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a powerful name it is. Nothing can stand against. What a powerful name it is. The name of Jesus. What a powerful name it is. The name of Jesus. What a powerful name it is. The name of Jesus.
Blessed is the one who comes in.
There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus to break every chain. Break every chain, break every chain. Break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus to break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. Break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. All sufficient sacrifice.
We just worship you. We acknowledge that there is power in your name. Lord, We are looking for that power today. Many of us here are wounded or sick, emotionally, physically. Lord, we're looking to you to heal us today. Would you come and move in a way that only you can do? For something, Lord, that goes beyond what man can do. Looking for more than what we can do, Lord. Too many times we rely on ourselves, we let ourselves down. Too many times we rely on other people, and people let us down. Too many times we rely on our profession, and our reputation, on who we think we are, who we perceive we think we are. And Lord, we know that those things let us down. So we're asking today, dear God, that you would just go beyond that only you can go. Your territory, Lord. We believe in miracles. We do, Lord. We've seen them. We're asking, just like this wind is blowing right now, we ask that you just move like a mighty rushing wind into our hearts and our minds. And Lord, would you take the throne of our heart? Would you sit there once again? His name is Jesus, Jesus. His name is Jesus, Jesus. His name is
Lord, this morning we come before you as we prepare to dig into your word. Lord, would you speak to our hearts today? Lord, we're here to hear from you. We're here to be renewed by you. Indeed, we are all in different places this morning, whether we're dealing with physical, emotional, or spiritual issues, or if everything at this moment is just right. Lord, we're all in different places this morning. And I pray that your word, Lord, would go forth and speak to each person in the place we are at today, Father God. Lord, I pray that we would lift up your name and worship you through the preaching of your word today. Lord, I am but an instrument, a tool for you to use. Let your words flow. And let me speak as you have called me to speak, Father God. Be glorified today, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I read an article this past week reflecting on who we are as related to our names. Let me read just a portion of this article to you this morning. The one defining characteristic we all share, the one unique and profound element of each and every one of us, is the name we are given. From the reason to why we were given such a name, to the historical lineage and significance of what a name has come to represent, our name, beyond its objective purpose, encompasses what and who each of us is. Its essence as it is at the very heart of our existence. It signified what tribe we come from. It represents the language and dialect we speak. It made others aware of the region we come from. It grew into characterizing the nationality which we come from. It effectively describes us in a manner more than we truly understand or choose to realize. It was the mark we put down when coming to the new world, or the signature we made to our homes. And it's the last thing that is ever read in the letter by the one we love. Our name is utterly more powerful and significant than simply the characters that represent it. It represents every transaction we make, from banknotes to ownership, business relations to paychecks, marriage, authorship, and beyond. And in a growing world based in text, online search, and social profiles, the purpose of our name has expanded and become more imperative than it ever has been before. It simply doesn't represent who we are. It is who we are. Names reveal a lot about people, as the article illustrated. And not just in today's world. Throughout Scripture, we find that names carry with them a great deal of meaning. If we pay attention when we're reading through Scripture, we see that some significant people experienced name change in Scripture. It occurred about a dozen or more times. And that's just the straight, direct name changes. That doesn't include those who are also known as. Of those name changes, a handful of them came directly from God himself, like Abram to Abraham, or Sarai to Sarah. Why are these name changes so significant? I mean, in each case, there was a specific reason why their names were changed. They were changed because the name represents the sum of the person, everything that they stand for. The last line of the article we just read sums that up so nicely. In reference to our name, it said, it simply doesn't represent who we are. It is who we are. A name is a person. That's never been more important for us to understand than when it comes to the third commandment that we are given. Exodus chapter 20 and verse 7. You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God, for the Lord will not hold anyone guiltless who misuses his name. I want you to notice first and foremost, if you're reading along, if you're looking at that verse of Scripture this morning, Exodus 20, verse 7, that both times that the name or the word Lord is used in that text, it is in all capital letters. And we know by our discussion from a couple weeks ago, when Lord is written in all capital letters, it does not indicate any kind of aspect of God, But it indicates God himself, Yahweh, I am. It represents all that he is. That text tells us the name of the Lord is to be honored, praised, far more than anything else in all existence. For that name, that covenant-keeping name, represents everything that God is, every last detail of his being. That name speaks to his love. It speaks to his mercy, to his desire to defend us, to help us, and his willingness to save us. It is the name by which all people of all races throughout all history will have to give an account someday. It is the name at which every knee will bow and every tongue confess. It is the name that holds both reward and punishment in its grasp. There's much more to that name than sometimes we realize, more than just the idea of knowing it or pronouncing it or reading it. God calls us, he demands for us to be holy, which we know means to be separated from sin. That separation occurs when we are obedient to God, when we obey his commands. When we obey him, we know him. Psalm 9, verse 10. Those who know your name will trust in you. For you, Lord, have never forsaken those who seek you. To know God is to know his name, which means much more than just how to say it or how to spell it, but it's to know the very essence of God. By knowing his name, it's knowing that all power and praise and glory belong to him and him alone. It's knowing the holy fear that the name of the Lord represents or holds for us. We mentioned a couple of weeks ago that in the early days, the scribes copied scripture. They copied text. They would not write out the name Yahweh completely. They would only write part of his name because it was so important to them to revere his name, to hold it in such high esteem. In fact, when they wrote out those consonants, those four letters that they actually used, they would go through a purification or cleansing process first before they would put that pen, if you will, to paper. That's how sacred God's name was to them. Speaking it, reading it, writing it, it all had to be done in a certain manner, in a certain way, to make sure that his name was given the respect and reverence that it deserved. See, to treat God's name any other way was just simply unacceptable. Think about the order of the commands that we've been going through so far. First one is, I am. There is no one else. There is one true God. Then he says, don't make anything to represent me or to look like me or to be put in place of me. Make no idols for yourself. Worship nothing but me. Then he goes on to say, do not even misuse my name. For my name represents purity. Don't misuse the name that I have given you for myself. If we were to look at this command in the King James Version, we would see Scripture uses a couple of different words here. It says, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. What does that mean? What does in vain mean? Simply put, it means insincerely, devoid of substance or meaning. Think about that. Don't use God's name void of substance or meaning. That is not how we are told to represent God. If we were to look back a little further and check out the original Hebrew text, there actually is probably a better way to translate that Hebrew text into our modern English. And it's with the word futility, which itself means pointless or frivolously. Do not use God's name frivolously or without any point to it. Any way you look at it, any text you take, it's talking about not using God's name in any way other than the reverent way it is intended to be used. Don't be careless with his name, but hold it high in reverent fear. Let's take a peek at the second half of that command. You know, we're all pretty good about remembering the first part of it, don't use my name incorrectly. But what about the second part of that command? Listen to how it's phrased. For the Lord, again, all caps, for the Lord will not hold anyone guiltless who misuses his name. We are guiltless when we are cleansed from our sin. That's how we become guiltless. But if we are profaning the name of God, Scripture says we are not guiltless. In other words, very plainly, it's a sin. And what are we called to be? We are called to be holy, which means to be separated from sin. The use of God's name in commandment number 3 is not something that we should brush past or take lightly. Like the first two commandments, it's a sin directly against Yahweh. When we think about using the name of the Lord incorrectly today, what does it mean to us? Now, most of us are likely to jump right to that idea of profanity, cursing. However, that was not the only issue that they were dealing with in the Old Testament. That's not the only reason for the writing of that third command. See, they would use God's name flippantly when they would recite or commit oaths to people or promises to people. Man would take the name of God and tag it on to the end of their promise. And the problem is, they were just doing that without thinking about it or without any kind of reverence to it at all. They made these promises and had no intention of keeping them. Today we deal with misusing his name the same way, and we also deal with the profanity part. Before we get into all of that, let's look at some New Testament text today regarding God's name and how it is to be treated. Matthew chapter 5, starting at verse 33. Again, you have heard that it was said to the people long ago, Do not break your oath, but keep the oath you have made to the Lord. But I tell you, do not swear at all, either by heaven, for it is God's throne, or by the earth, for it is his footstool, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. And do not swear by your head, for you cannot make even one hair white or black. Simply let your yes be yes, and your no be no. Anything beyond this comes from the evil one. Those were words that Jesus spoke during the Sermon on the Mount when he was teaching a great number of people. Another time Jesus was doing some teaching, and Matthew again records his words in Matthew chapter 23, starting at verse 16. Woe to you, blind guides! You say if anyone swears by the temple, it means nothing. But if anyone swears by the gold of the temple, he was bound by his oath. You blind fools! Which is greater, the gold or the temple that makes the gold sacred? You also say if anyone swears by the altar, it means nothing. But anyone who swears by the gift on it, he is bound by his oath. You blind men! Which is greater, the gift or the altar that makes the gift sacred? Therefore, he who swears by the altar swears by it and by everything on it. And he who swears by the temple swears by it and by the one who dwells in it. And he who swears by heaven swears by God's throne and the one who sits on it. Then we read in the book of James, chapter 5, verse 12. Above all, my brothers, do not swear, not by heaven or by earth or by anything else. Let your yes be yes and your no, no, or you will be condemned. Without question, this was an issue that was common in biblical times. Again, oaths would be spoken all the time. Promises would be made by people all the time. And they would end them in ways or speak them in ways that they had no business speaking them. The Matthew chapter 23 section, Jesus was dealing with the Pharisees and their twisting of the words, twisting of those promises and oaths. And he was calling them to account for what they were saying and what they were doing, because they were being deceptive. They would speak words or say something and not mean them and not have any intention of keeping them. But if somebody else said those words, they would hold them accountable. So they were being double-minded. God was calling an end to that. Jesus was speaking directly to that. They wanted their words to be taken seriously, so they thought they should tag an oath to the end instead of just letting their yes be yes and their no, no. Not only were they twisting the words that they spoke, but they were doing it in God's name. By taking the oath, they were defaming God. They were defaming the very one whose name they didn't want to write out because it was so sacred and so reverent. The oath that they were taking was really a non-essential part of the promise. If they would simply have spoken the truth and adhered to their words, there would have been no need to speak the oaths that they were speaking or to twist the words that they were twisting. See, something we need to keep in mind, man does not need to impress God or attempt to impress God. We don't need to use taglines, maybe similar to what the Pharisees used, but certainly taglines that we use all the time today. Taglines like, well, I swear to, or so help me. We don't need to ask. add taglines on the things we're saying. Understand there's a great difference between asking God for help and using a tagline like I just suggested. Two very different things. God is simply calling us to speak the truth. We don't need to swear by him or his temple or his name or heaven or anything else. Simply let our yes be yes and our no, no. If we are men and women that keep our word, swearing or causing or calling an oath will never be necessary for us. James chapter 1 and verse 19 gives us some very specific instruction. It says we need to be slow to speak. There's a reason for that. Because many times when we speak rashly or speak quickly, we speak words we have no intention of keeping. And it's then that we swear these oaths or call out these promises because we haven't thought through what we were going to say to begin with. If we're slow to speak, we can think about our response a little more clearly before we just call out words that we don't need to speak. It's more important to slow down and to think a little bit before we call out these words. Not only are oaths an issue or swearing an oath by God's name a problem, but today we certainly add a whole world of profanity to this command as well. Don't misunderstand me. I'm sure there was cursing of some nature existent in biblical times too. But I think it's a whole lot more prevalent today. I think it happens far more in today's society than it did a couple thousand years ago. We are to hold his name reverently. We are to think of his name with wholesome respect. You know, when teaching us how to pray, Jesus gave us a pattern to pray, didn't he? Listed in Matthew, we know it mostly by the Lord's Prayer. That's how we call it. But listen to the beginning of that prayer for just a second. It says, "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name." Hallowed be your name. What does that mean? It means that his name is to be respected. It means that his name is sacred. It means that his name is to be held in high esteem. If we are profaning God's name, if we are swearing an oath by his name, then we are not keeping his name hallowed as we are told to in that model prayer. And again, here's another one of the problems we deal with today. We think we're so slick, we find the loopholes around the command because we just start abbreviating things thinking that's okay. That's not a problem. I don't declare irreverently, "Oh my God." Instead, I just write OMG. That's okay. I didn't actually say it. It's not okay, folks. Let me just follow that up with this scripture, Hebrews 4, 12. "The word of the Lord is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of him for whom we must give an account." don't allow yourself to be deceived. God knows the intention of your heart. And even something as simple as an abbreviation has an intention in your heart and in your mind. And what is that intention? Maybe you don't verbalize the words, but what is it that's going through your head? God certainly knows how we respect or disrespect Him when we use His name. We need to maybe take a lesson from those early scribes. I don't know that we need to go through a whole purification process every time we speak the name of the Lord, but we need to rethink about how we use God's name. Are we using it in a reverent manner? Does it generate the fear in us that it's supposed to generate when we think of His name? Perhaps the next time we are tempted to call out some curse words using God's name, perhaps you maybe think about substituting your own name in there instead. Think about for a second. Oh, my Sally! Phil, darn it! Does that make any sense to anybody? If that doesn't make any sense, then why does God's name make any more sense in there? Let's consider one more thing for just a second this morning. And this is something we need to think carefully about. I'm not saying everything that I'm about to say. We just need to think carefully about this, okay? How do we address God? When we're talking to Him, when we're praying, when we're talking to somebody else about Him, how do we address the one true God? Is the big man upstairs okay? Is Daddy okay? Is the higher power or the head enchilada, is that okay? Are those ways we should be addressing Yahweh? See, the whole concept of the third commandment is reverence and respect to the God of all creation. Whether that's by swearing of oaths or by profaning His name, we are to treat His very name with reverence and fear. You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God, for the Lord will not hold anyone guiltless who misuses His name. Are we interested in being held guiltless? Don't misuse His name. Lord, help us this morning to understand how sacred even your name is. Lord, we cannot be flippant about it. We cannot be indifferent about it. We need to understand God, Yahweh, and the unbelievable respect your name deserves. God, help us to know that. Lord, next time we're tempted to use your name in a context that is not right, stop us. Stop us from doing it. Help us to think through it. Lord, help us to treat you the way you have told us to treat you, with reverent fear and respect. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless and have a great week in Jesus. Amen.